Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. Microsoft President Brad Smith out with an updated version of his best-selling book, Tools and Weapons, The Promise of Peril of the Digital Age Today. The paperback edition gives readers new insight into Microsoft's investigation of the SolarWinds hack in December of last year. Let's bring in Brad Smith himself for much more on the book. Brad, it's always good to talk to you. In the book, you describe the SolarWinds attack as a moment of reckoning, where you say that it illustrated the degree to which tech can be both a defensive and an offensive tool as well. What specifically was it about the nature of the attack that made you realize that? And ultimately, what has that meant in terms of Microsoft's defense against some of these hacks?
Well, it was an attack that was extraordinarily sophisticated. It's been attributed by governments around the world at this point to the Russian Foreign Intelligence Agency. And what it specifically did is it infiltrated the software supply chain of a particular company, in this case, SolarWinds. And then by installing malware in one of that company's updates, it reached tens of thousands, roughly 17,000 companies around the world. And it was in many ways, I think, an act of recklessness in terms of the form of the attack. And we just have not seen something like that impact successfully so many major governments and tech companies before. And so it's been, I think, as events have had it, as we spell out in our book, a galvanizing moment, not just for the tech sector, but for the White House and for governments around the world, rightly so.
You've already committed to spend $20 billion over the next 5 years to build up defenses for cybersecurity. I know you've been working closely with the Defense Department, with the Biden administration. As we see the nature of these attacks step up, what do you see as the role of the private sector as well as the government in trying to wage against these attacks that feel like they're really elevating on a weekly basis in terms of the nature of them?
I think for those of us in the private sector and in the business community, there are three really important roles. The first is for the tech sector itself. It's for companies like Microsoft and others to strengthen our defenses, to strengthen security protection, to expand security services. I think the second is really across the economy and across the private sector, and that's basically to put these protections to work. Every organization, whether it's a nonprofit, a government, or a business, is going to need to up its own protection. And in some cases, that just means using what it has already purchased. In some cases, it may mean more. And then finally, I think there's a broad cybersecurity skilling challenge. It's a challenge because there's a shortage across the country and around the world. It's a challenge for the education community, for community colleges, for services like LinkedIn that Microsoft operates. But ultimately, it's a challenge we all need to meet. We're all going to invest. We're all going to need to invest in more skilling and then more hiring of cybersecurity professionals.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the tricky part in putting this all together, right? Because, the SolarWinds attack seemed like it had been going on a lot longer than people realized. And, $20 billion seems like a lot of money, but when it's spread out over 5 years coming from just Microsoft, obviously it's going to take a big partnership here in private and public. But $150 million to help the U.S. government update and protect their own kind of systems as well. I mean, what more push do you think needs to happen maybe here from the government, given the fact that we are seeing a lot of these attacks rise from Russia and other countries, the concentration there? What's it maybe going to take more in protecting Americans and American companies, maybe on the public side?
Well, I think you make a great point, and it's really a lot of what inspired my co-author, Carol Ann Brown, and I to add more material to this book in this particular chapter. It starts with a better understanding of the problem, and that requires that more companies and others share more information broadly with each other. In some ways, I think it's even appropriate to use this week, the 20th anniversary of 9/11, to reflect on one of the lessons of the 9/11 Commission. It was a failure of intelligence sparked in many ways by a culture where people only had a way of sharing knowledge, information, when they felt there was a need to know. And the 9/11 Commission said that needed to shift to a need to share. That is something for all of us. I do think it will require some acts of Congress. That's another part of the story in the book, you know, how this went from the tech sector to the White House to the Senate Intelligence Committee. We're going to need laws that I think mandate information reporting to the right part of the government at the right time in the right way. And then I think it is a whole of society moment. And that was really the watershed, I think, that we saw at the White House last month, bringing together not just tech companies, but community college leaders, energy company CEOs, insurance and banking executives. We all are going to need to take new steps. And as you put it, we need to do it together.
Brad, one of the other things that you've been exploring throughout the pandemic really is about the access to broadband, something that you had pushed pre-pandemic, but we really did see this divide, especially with more and more people at home with remote work. As a company, how have you been thinking about your role in trying to expand access to internet? Obviously, Microsoft employees largely in areas where it's readily available, but it feels like that conversation was there at the beginning of the pandemic. Now it's kind of taken a step back.
Well, the first thing I would say is I'm reluctant to say that anything as terrible as a pandemic has a silver lining. But one thing that COVID-19 did do is caused us all to see something that was in front of our eyes to which we weren't paying enough attention. And that's the broadband divide. That's why we've been banging this drum for several years saying, you know, look, broadband's the electricity of the 21st century, and the people who don't have it are basically living in the 1990s. The good news, in my opinion, is we are awakened as a society, really as a planet. We're seeing major commitments by the administration and Congress, including in the infrastructure bill, to take the kinds of steps that will be needed to close this gap. Certainly for Microsoft, we have multiple roles. It starts, frankly, with just great data analysis. We've provided what I think is now regarded as the preeminent map of the United States in terms of just enabling people to see who has broadband and who does not. But knowledge is just the beginning. You know, I think there are new partnerships with new technologies. With a company like SpaceX, we can look forward to, I think, a brighter future with low Earth orbiting satellites, with more partnerships with telecommunications companies. We have the wherewithal as a country to solve this problem in the next 4 years. And yeah, I would almost say shame on us if we fail to do it, because we're going to be leaving too many people behind in rural America, and especially underprivileged and racially diverse communities in urban America. And I just don't think our country can afford that.
Yeah, and I mean, as you talk about that gap, there's also the gap in terms of hybrid work in this pandemic that's been pretty evident as well. That's increased the role of platforms like Microsoft Teams. We've talked about Slack getting used as more people are working outside the office. I mean, how quickly does that side of the business become even more important the longer this drags on? And maybe, you know, if we never get back to the idea of a full return to normal and hybrid sticking around, I mean, talk to me about the growth that you've seen there.
Well, we obviously have seen tremendous growth since the pandemic started in March of 2020. In many ways, we've seen, you know, services like Teams, you know, explode. We've seen broadband usage, you know, double in the course of a couple of months in 2020. And I think there are many aspects of this that will be here to stay. Perhaps not everything in every way. One of the things we talk about in one of the new chapters in our book is really how we can learn from World War II and what persisted and what abated after the war ended. I think the encouraging word is really to recognize that there is a blended future that creates more opportunities and more flexibility, probably for all of us. And it's not just, you know, working from home, but that is one important aspect. It's the opportunity to consult with a doctor via a telehealth service rather than having to trek, you know, to a physical office every time you want that kind of consultation. It's the opportunity for a sick child to attend school from home with a broadband connection, or for people to stay connected during a snow day. So I think we're going to have a future that basically puts, just say, think of video, interactive video, next to what we all grew up with the telephone. We could go visit family and friends, or we could call them on the phone, and our experiences were better because of it. Now we have video that opens the door to much richer interaction like we're having with this conversation. but now it's open to everybody, including in meetings with their employer and their team.
Brad, I'm curious to get your thoughts on what is playing out in China right now, because Microsoft's Word, Excel, PowerPoint recently named among a group of apps that have been accused of misleading or infringing on user privacy. And I know you had a conversation recently with an official, one of the regulators over in China. What have you gleaned from that conversation, from conversations you've had about the intention of the most recent crackdown? And ultimately, what does it mean about the way in which Microsoft operates in the country? It is one of very few tech companies that have a big presence there.
Yeah, and I was able to meet last week with the Chinese Minister for Industry and Information Technologies. They put out a statement after the meeting. I would say two things. One is, there is, in my view, the real need for clarity and stability in the broader technology relationship between China and the United States. I think part of that needs to come from China. Part of it needs to come from Washington, D.C. Clearly, there are going to be guardrails, and we need guideposts. So there's a mutual understanding of where the two governments want to see American technology companies play a role. Yeah, our view is that services like Word and Windows and productivity and the like have an appropriate role to play on a global basis. And there are other services we have, say like facial recognition and certain AI services, where I don't think either the Chinese or U.S. governments are going to want us to necessarily be involved. I think that there is a real need for conversation about how we can play a role, how we need to play a role in China, so that American multinationals that have presences in China can use our cloud there just like they use it everywhere else. And I think there's an urgent need to talk about how we can put technology to work globally, including in China, to help reduce carbon emissions, and how we ensure that a global basic research community that operates in certain scientific fields can, and in an appropriate way, should use common technology. But we need to get to specifics. You can see from my list, having broad conceptual conversations, which is natural in the new administration, is the right place to start. But as we look to 2022 and the second year of the administration, it will be time to go from generalities, principles, and dive into specifics.
Well, we hope to keep the conversation going with you, Brad. Always good to have you on the show. Brad Smith, president of Microsoft, joining us on his new updated book. Thanks so much for joining us today.